It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
I've taken up an uncomfortable and dangerous activity lately. I'm reading the book that James wrote. Each time I read James, I am confronted with areas of disconnection and inconsistency in my own life. Among other things, it uncovers disconnections between what I believe and how I live, inconsistencies between how I treat people and how I should treat them, dysfunctions in areas of how I speak, how I use finances, how I pray, and so much more. The book that James wrote also supplies prescriptions or cures for wholesome living, and it draws us toward Jesus Christ. I'm not alone in this. Earl Palmer writes that James, quote, points us to a good and durable cure for all doublespeak religion or lifestyle. I want to write down some of the ways that James has challenged me in how I live my life and in how I think about life, end quote. So in the next podcasts, I want to walk with you through this wonderful little book. I want to listen what James says, and more importantly, I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying through James, and respond honestly, practically, and wholesomely. In the end, I know that we will never be the same. As we start, let's ask a few basic questions. Who was James? To whom did he write? What about? And why? First, who was James? Most probably the writer of this book is the same James who was the Lord's brother that we read about in Galatians 1, verse 19, and the leader of the early Christian community at Jerusalem, Acts 15. This James was a younger half-brother of Jesus, born to Mary. On one occasion, the Apostle John notes that Jesus' own brothers, including James, did not believe Jesus. We read about that in John 7, verses 3 to 5. And yet there was a radical change in the life of James. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, and that would have included James, praying with the followers of Jesus, Acts 1, verse 14. In hindsight, what had James discerned about Jesus? How had they played together, for example, as children within the close confines of a large Galilean family? No doubt James recalled Jesus' unwavering love and devotion to his God and Father, his sacrificial life and death, the power and glory of his resurrection. It is notable that James identifies himself simply as James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, James 1:1. In this humble statement, he acknowledges the supremacy of the Lord Jesus. He neither refers to his family connection nor uses a title such as apostle. James declares himself as a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Greek, the word that he uses here for servant is the word doulos. According to R.C. Trench, this word means one who is, quote, in a permanent relation of servitude to another, his will altogether swallowed up upon the will of the other. To whom was James writing? James, in his own words in James 1:1, says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion or scattered abroad. Commentators generally propose that this is a reference to Jewish people who had become Christians, Christ followers, in or about Israel. By extension, this reaches to all people of God, all Christ followers, no matter where and when they live, those in faithful covenant relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What did James write about, and why? The letter or epistle of James is a no-holds-barred confrontation with fragmented Christian faith and dysfunctional Christian living. This letter contains the only uses of the word translated double-minded, or more literally, double-souled, diphsuchos. The first occurrence is a diagnosis identifying the problem. James 1:8 says, a double-minded or a double-souled man, unstable in all his ways. The only other occurrence is a prescription, the cure or solution we read about in James 4, verse 8. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. This illustrates much of what the letter is about, identifying negative attitudes and behaviors, and then recommending healing and wholeness in those areas. Here's a sketch of the letter of James. He identifies the disintegration and fragmentation we often experience. Then he moves toward the integrity or wholeness in Christ that we desire. For example, in chapter 1, verses 13 to 27, there's the diagnosis of blaming God. Set off against that is the prescription or cure, worshiping God by hearing and doing. In the first half of chapter 2, the problem is partiality within community. In the last half of chapter 2, the separation of faith from action. In chapter 3, there's this dysfunctional speaking. In chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, unhealthy desires and conflict. In chapter 4, verse 13 to 5, 11, there's arrogant planning and boasting. And in the very last verse, chapter 5, verse 12, making oaths set off against speaking truthfully. In the coming podcasts, we'll explore each of these contrasts, the problem and the solution that James writes about. I recently came across the Chinese character for the word listening. It's a combination of six symbols: ear, king, meaning respect, ten, meaning all, eyes, one, meaning undivided, and open heart. And I thought that combination of symbols was an amazing picture of the skill of listening well. Hearing, but also attending in respect and completeness with an undivided and open heart. For now, I suggest that you take time to read through James carefully and thoughtfully with an undivided and open heart. Be listening for those areas in which you sense discomfort with what James is saying. What's behind this discomfort you experience? Be specific. Write it down if you need to. Is it a habit or an attitude or an action that you hold or practice, even perhaps without conscious awareness? Our goal is to listen deeply to James. In this way, it is hoped that we will identify those areas of our lives that are disintegrated, or fragmented, or dysfunctional, or hollow, or incomplete, or divisive, or impure. And as we continue to listen with an undivided and open heart, we begin to see the life of our Lord Jesus Christ that manifests what it is to be pure, integrated, real, functional, and complete, and then, by His grace, to be living toward wholeness.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.